from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and we are live right now here on YouTube and coming to you because it's almost time for Halloween Horror Nights.
This is it. This is our, I was going to say this was going to be our wrap-up show, but this is going to be the beginning of the end for us for Halloween Horror Nights. I would like to say this is it for Horror Nights coverage, but it's actually just getting started because we've been going, since March, April?
In March, April, yeah. It's
so we got the first announcement.
Yeah, it's been a long road getting to, as we are finally later this week going to get to see Halloween Horror Nights. But tonight, we're going to preview it. We're going to give our hype list for the scare zones and the houses, because it's all based on what we've seen so far and what we think is going to be the most exciting stuff to us. And we could be proven wrong coming this opening weekend.
We'll be
back next week for our review of Halloween Horror Nights, and we'll see how much that matches up to what we were hyped for.
Yeah, and me and Barry were discussing before we started recording here, and I think everybody can agree with us on this front. This has been the most difficult year to create any sort of hype list. I was about to put all the 10 haunted houses up on a dartboard and just throw a dart and make that my hype list, because there's so much good stuff this year, at least we hope.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think I've been this excited for a Halloween Horror Nights probably since 25. 25 was definitely you know, obviously because it was 25th anniversary and Jack was back, and you know, I think we were really excited for that one, and this is the most hyped. I mean, we're getting 10 houses.
Yeah,
we're getting in an overall sort of 80s theme to the event this year, which, you know, for a lot of people, that's, you know, really cool. And I think we're very excited for Halloween Horror Nights this year compared to, I mean, we're always excited, but this year feels a little bit different. They're, you know, we're having 10 houses. They've gotten some of the IPs that they've wanted for years.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the biggest things. And even the originals all sound great this year.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting 5 original houses this year. It's, you know, you got to go back to before they started getting IPs. It was the last time they had, like, I think 5 original houses. So, you know, it's pretty,
all right,
amazing.
So how do you want to do this? We really didn't discuss how we're going to do our hype list. Let's go through scare zones first.
Yeah, I think we go through scare zones, and we're going to go from bottom to top. You know, so we're going to start with number 5. And
like I said, you could probably just go off of your list because I think mine's identical to yours. So we're kind of on the same page with scare zones.
Yeah, I had a feeling we'd match up pretty well scare zone wise, because it's I feel like the scare zone, as far as hype goes, it's pretty sort of obvious what order they would be. But for me, number 5 is The Harvest. I mean, that scare zone every year is hit or miss. You know, there have been some good years for that scare zone that's between Despicable Me and Shrek. This year looks like it might be pretty good. They've actually put some sets out this year. It's normally either pieces they roll out or very small sets that they've put, like, this fencing up, and they've got, you know, they've got the different little set pieces for some of the different IPs. I mean, it's sort of become, at least the last 2 years, it's sort of like the introduction scare zone.
Yeah,
it's like here's what we got going on this year, and here's some different characters from those things.
Now I don't know if it's true, but label this as a rumor, unless it was confirmed and I didn't hear it. instead of, you know, years past, like you said, they've had the characters, they've kind of plucked characters from the haunted houses, and they're walking around that scare zone, like you said, is kind of a preview as to what's to come. But I heard they're not doing that this year. They're sticking with the barn theme of the reaping, and there's going to be like scarecrows and stuff walking around there.
That would definitely be interesting. I mean, it's the description for the harvest is sort of vague. I mean, it's basically an old barn holds horrors from each house. Foul creatures lurk beneath the hay bales, ready for a harvest of blood and screams. So it may just be the sets that have, you know, stuff from different houses, and then, like I said, maybe unique creatures, you know, barn creatures, just for that scare zone. So I guess we will find out.
And if you think about it, that scare zone with the characters from the haunted house became more or less a photo opportunity, and maybe that's why they're going back to just having, you know, random scare actors in there. Not random, you know, sticking with the theme, but, you know, like last year, the twins from The Shining.
Yeah, I mean,
good example.
After the first two weekends, they got to the point where, the twins did not stop moving just to keep people from trying to do too many, like, photo ops, which has become a problem in all the scare zones.
Yeah, regardless of whether they're an iconic character or not, it has become an issue, but you add that level of popularity like the twins from The Shining, and it creates even more of
it was a problem with people wanting to get selfies. It's one thing when you want to take pictures of the scare actors in the scare zones. Usually they'll be pretty there, especially earlier in the evening. They're pretty cool about it, and they'll actually stop and pose for you for a second.
But once
it really gets going, it really starts to get sort of annoying to me as a guest, and I'm imagine for a lot of the scare actors too, to have to deal with these people wanting to get selfies when your job is to scare people.
So, yeah, exactly. So
it'll be interesting to see what this scare zone. But I mean, I put it at 5 because usually it is going into the event, it's usually ranked the worst.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that, though, there have been years when that scare zone's been really good.
And this year, like you said, it looks like they're actually it's actually looking pretty surprising this year. So we'll have
And there looks like there's going to be some spots where the scare actors will actually be able to hide and jump out at people. So
yeah, with that fencing and up and everything,
that always helps. So was that your number 5?
It was for the pretty much the same reasons like we just discussed. That scare zone, it's always been a difficult place to do a scare zone, but there has been years where there's been a good scare zone there. So just by default, this one's at the bottom, because there's been so many years where that scare zone's been at the bottom of the list. So it's just kind of by default, really. The harvest will be at the bottom of my list, but I hope I'm pleasantly surprised with that scare zone. And it looks like we could be.
Yeah, and number 4 for me is Revenge of Chucky. I'm interested. I feel like this is going to be hit or miss, depending on how good the puppet is. Also, how good the puppet is at distracting people too. Much like Chance, when Chance had her scare zone, she sort of distracted people from the other scare actors and stuff like that. And really, you know, how well these toys that have been turned evil come to life, how good they end up being too. So, you know, all we've seen is the setup of what they've shown so far. We don't know how many other pieces are going to come out. I imagine there's going to be a few other pieces that come out at night that they set up for the scare zone.
Yeah, because that scare zone's been one like Van 55 and what was the scare zone called last year? Drawing a blank.
So am I.
Gosh, sure it's terrible.
Someone screaming at us right now. But yeah, I mean, it's always been, you know, pieces that they bring out after the park closes.
Yeah, like parade floats almost. So yeah. I'm curious to see what more they have in store for the Revenge of Chucky scare zone.
Yeah, surely... and Chucky can get a little annoying after a while.
Yeah, him and his... And laugh. Yeah,
and wear a little thin.
Yeah.
So it's hit or miss. So, I mean, like I said, I definitely am interested to see what it was. Festival of the Deadliest last year.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
So,
moving on to numero.
I imagine that was your number four too.
Yeah, like I said, this is why we're doing scare zones first, because I think we're pretty much neck and neck with our thoughts on scare zones.
So number three for me is Killer Clowns.
I have yet to see the movie. I gotta watch
it.
I am.
This is in a brand new location that they've never really put a scare zone before. Like we've talked before, it's basically been used for like chainsaw gangs have occupied this spot before along the waterfront in New York Street between Transformers and Louis. You know, so we're getting, and it's using projection mapping. You know, we're going, apparently there's these clown, they're going to have the clowns out there. They have these elaborate masks. It'll be interesting to see how well they move, you know, and the movie is sort of goofy funny. So it'll be interesting to see how scary this zone is, especially to those of us who aren't scared of clowns. Obviously for people who are scared of clowns,
yeah,
they're going to try to avoid this area like the plague.
Yeah. It's going to be a given with those people. But I'm kind of falling back on the area 51, whatever it was, the UFO scare zone last year.
Yeah.
Over in San Francisco. Some of those costumes were so huge, some of the aliens, that they weren't scary at all. And I have mixed emotions, because yeah, this scare zone isn't supposed to be scary. Goofy, it's silly, goofy, scary. But I don't want the clowns, which it's been confirmed that these costumes are massive, the clowns.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to be these people, just these clowns just kind of moping around. So I don't know. I'm kind of, maybe I have to watch the movie to get a different perspective. Like I said, I haven't seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I intend to watch it here shortly. And
yeah, I mean one of the reasons it's so high from it's at three on this list is because this is one of the IPs they have wanted for a long time, been trying to find a way to get it in to the event, and they finally have. So I feel like, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they pull off with this scare zone wise, because it's something they've wanted for a long time. So they've obviously been tossing around ideas in their heads for a long time on this.
Go
ahead.
I'm interested to compare this to the San Francisco scare zone, which they had to obviously move because of the exit of Fast and Furious Supercharged. Now, I'm really curious to compare this to where that was to where this was, how it operates as a scare zone. So that's all I got to say about that.
So then that leaves two more, and it's pretty obvious what they're going to be. Number two is Twisted Traditions for me. Part of this is because I think, much like Trick or Treat last year, this is going to be a visually stunning scare zone. I will be interested to see how much of a difference the Central Park scare zone is this year, with less trees. And if there's more light bleeding in than there normally would be when there was a lot more trees in Central Park. So, but I mean, God, whenever they do those jack-o'-lanterns up in those trees, it is so amazing looking. And be interested to see how sort of, you know, they really emphasize sort of how rotting pumpkins and how probably really gross the scare actors are going to look in this one.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about I don't know if they mentioned anything in the description, or they talked about it in the roundtable about what the scare actors are going to look like in there. They're going to be part pumpkin too, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's I want to say it's like, you know, it's talked about like rotting pumpkins and sort of, I mean, I guess sort of zombie like rotting pumpkin creatures or something like that. So I mean, I imagine this one, you know, Central Park one's usually always one of my favorites, because usually they always do, since they got such a tight corridor to work with, they always really come up with amazing visuals and lighting for that area, and it's always usually how some of my favorite scare zones over the years.
Yeah, if we were to rank the, you know, the most visually stunning scare zone, the Central Park one, no matter what they put in there, they always do a good job designing that scare zone. So, and I have no issue with them doing the pumpkins up in the tree every year just by default. I love that. I love the pumpkins in the tree. I'm so happy we've gotten it 2 years in a row, last year with Trick or Treat and this year with Twisted Tradition. So I'm cool with that because I love pumpkins. I love Halloween. So
that leaves with the obvious number one, and I think it's almost everybody's like number one scare zone they're the most hyped for, and that's Vamp 85. You know, Vamp 55 was a fan favorite when they did it in 26 at Halloween Horror Nights 26, and you know, they've said they basically came up with the idea for Vamp 85 that year. And obviously, you know, with it being 85, what better place to have it than New York Street, and then to have it be New Year's Eve 1984, and that will take place every 20 to 30 minutes. They will have a ball drop. They've got a stage out there set up for a ball drop, and
I think it's really astonishing how this, and like you said, it started with Vamp 55. It's became almost like a Horror Night staple, this vamp thing, which is really bizarre.
Well, I mean, what made Vamp 55 good? It had a little storyline going on throughout it where they were trying to get the prom queen, and combined with the fact that, and this happens in a lot of scare zones, a lot of the scare actors came up with, you know, sort of backstories for their own characters. And that's what made it so popular is, you know, each character was, you know, had its own little thing that they were doing. If you just sat there and watched enough, you could see all these different little things playing out as you were watching the scare zone.
Yeah, you'd mentioned that before, and I think that was one of the reasons why it became so popular, is the overall feeling of the scare zone as it went on took on a character of its own. And it'll be really interesting to see what the scare actors do in Vamp 85.
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously got the stage for the ball drop. There's a stage where obviously bands were supposed to be playing, and I'm sure something went horribly wrong. I imagine there'll be a few more sets that will come out after the park closes that we haven't seen yet. We've seen a news van, so I imagine there's going to be a news crew somewhere. Scare actor cares, possibly being terrorized by the vampires, I assume. You know, much like Vamp 55, I imagine there'll be vampire characters, and then there'll be people they're terrorizing.
So. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see with that news van what comes out of that. Surely they'll have like news people there or something covering the event, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I imagine that there'll be obviously probably be a host or other people at the ball drop. You know, I'm sure there'll be some musicians, you know, based on the band stage, there'll be some musicians they're terrorizing or something. So I mean, it's on a bigger scale than Vamp 55 was, because the New York Street scare zone is always the largest scale scare zone each year.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this all turns out, but you know, I'm excited for it. You know, I mean, I've got a Vamp 85 Shelby denim art shirt, so I'm ready to go. So.
All of her stuff is great, by the way.
Yeah. I just got her pins, her Halloween Scary Day pins, in today,
which are awesome. Again,
yeah, everything they came out really good. So. So
I don't think everything I've seen come out of her as far as her artwork and her products.
Well, she designed her podcast logo. So
she did. Yeah, that's right.
But that's it for the scare zones. Like I said, I'm excited for all five of them, and I can't wait to see what they come up. And also, you know, the interesting thing with the scare zones is some things change over the first like weekend or two. They, you know, it's not until they get guests fully into the park. Sometimes they change a few things up when it comes to the scare zones, much like the houses. Until they get guests going through all the time, sometimes they switch up a little things. It's all that's to me, and that's always being someone who goes from the beginning to the end. It's always interesting to see the little changes that occur, especially the first couple of weekends as they make adjustments based on the guest flow and stuff like that.
Yeah, they always there's always little things, you know, especially people like me and you and all the fans that go. Religiously, we notice these things. Somebody that goes for one day, they're not going to notice it. But yeah, it is. It's pretty cool to see, you know, the tweaks and the mods and the, you know, all the stuff that they do to get things streamlined and rocking and rolling for weeks to come. So,
but now it's house time, and we got 10 of them to go through. So,
How do you want to do this?
I'm going to let you, since I did the scare zones first, I'm going to let you do your do the houses first. So starting with number 10, and I have a feeling our number 10 might be exactly the same. So
you think?
Yeah.
yeah, Blumhouse. you know, I haven't. Where do I start with this? you know, the Blumhouse last year was
I mean the best part was the Insidious part.
Yeah, I agree completely. But this year, you know, we're getting the first Purge and we're getting Happy Death Day, which that's another movie I have to watch. But you know, I enjoy the Purge more as a scare zone than a house. I've never enjoyed the Purge when they've done it in a house. So that I can't get excited about. And I Happy Death Day, I haven't seen it yet. So you know, it's just, you know, it's Blumhouse. And I think this is at the bottom of almost everybody's list.
Yeah. I mean, it's my number 10 too. And I think this house is going to be all based on execution, because I feel like the purge is only going to work if it's not just people in mass attacking victims or jump scares. I almost feel like there's, you know, sort of got to be some of the people who are against the purge, like taking on the purgers. I think to me would make this house more, the purge part more interesting.
Yeah,
like I said, Happy Death Day is going to live or die based on, you know, are they just going to do the kills from the movie? Because, I mean, there's multiple kills, because the whole plot of the movie is she keeps living the same day over and over again and dying over and over again. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they pull that off. Like I said, this one, you know, it's always hard. You know, this house could move up after we see it. But, you know, as of right now, it's at the bottom of the list. Albeit a very hard list this year to rank 1 through 10.
I think moving on here, I think my number 9, since I'm sitting here looking at it on my phone, mm-hmm. I think my number nine is going to be the biggest surprise out of the whole list. And it was really hard for me to put this house here. But it just, compared to everything else, after I went back and I listened to the entire roundtable again, where they were talking about all the houses and everything. My number 9 is Poltergeist. I'm excited for the house. I just, these big IPs, when I And I hate to do this. I've gone back years past. The Shining House didn't do too much for me. Exorcist got a little bit better for me as the event went on, but it's still, it was disappointing in the end.
The Shining was set piece wise was amazing, but I mean,
the jacks
just did not work really well, because it just, the weird forehead makeup mask that they used.
Yeah, just, the mask it, makeup just weird.
It just didn't. Whereas like some of the set pieces in it were amazing, especially the bar. The bar was like so cool. But and The Exorcist was hit or miss.
Yeah,
you know, it was really hit or miss. It was all, that one was so much about timing as far as you hitting the scares. If you didn't hit the scares right, then you missed so much. But I mean, it's, I understand why you have it, and it's out of all the houses, it's the one that they've really, there's been almost, outside of what they talked about the round table, they have released almost nothing.
Yeah.
About Poltergeist. So,
like I said, I went back and I listened to the round table, and yeah, they talk about the house facade and how you're going to start down the pool and everything underground. But they've been really hush hush about this house.
Which makes you wonder if that, you know, there's always, you know, they always, you know, will oftentimes after the event, they'll talk about how, like, you know, they didn't get approval on this until then. And it seems to me this may be the house that was the least farthest along.
Yeah.
As far as getting done. So, you know.
And that was one of the reasons why I put it so low on my list also, was I don't know much about it. Some of these other houses, especially within the last week, they've been like, photos, new video. And we haven't gotten anything about Poltergeist other than we know what the facade is and where you're going to start.
Yeah, so. So my number 9 is Halloween 4, which I know for some people it's like, it's sort of surprising, because the past two Halloween houses have been very good. The biggest issue for me with Halloween 4 is the fact that Halloween 4 is not that great of a movie.
No, it's not. Brian was talking in the YouTube live stream, and he finally saw it, and the movie's not that great. So
no, it's not that great of a movie. It's also in Shrek, and the Shrek houses have not always been that great. You know, there's only, you know, since they've been using that space, it's usually been one of the weaker houses. Krampus was really out of since they've been using that space, to me, was the only one that was halfway decent.
Yeah, I was going to say Krampus is probably one of my favorites in the Shrek queue.
Yeah, so it's definitely, for me, as far as hype goes, I want to be proven wrong. But I am, you know, not expecting much. So,
yeah, I'm kind of on the same page.
So that brings us to number 8.
Well, that's my number 8 is Halloween
so
4.
There you go.
Moving on here. and you know, you pretty much you hit the nail on the coffin with why it's my number 8, slightly above yours. You know, the movie's not that great. It's in the Shrek Q, which has been notorious for housing not the greatest of houses. So I hope we're surprised, because I've enjoyed every Halloween house up to this, but I'm keeping it low on my list so I don't get hyped about it. And hopefully both me and you are surprised. So
yeah, so that would so my number 8 is Trick or Treat. Now I loved the Scare Zone last year. You know, it was definitely my favorite Scare Zone last year. Albert, I'm not as excited for the house, because I might have been more excited if we had a 2-year gap in between.
Yeah.
But since it's coming back again, I'm not as excited, and I'll be interested to see how it does as a house. but it's I'm definitely not as hyped for it as I was when it was announced as a scare zone last year.
Yeah. My number seven is Trick or Treat. So
well, there you go.
we'll just keep climbing the ladder here. Yeah, you know, I mean, I love Trick or Treat. I love the movie. It's a great movie to watch. To, you know, everybody loves Sam. Bless you. But I kind of have to agree with you with the timing of this. The fact that we just got it last year. I think I would be a little more excited if we had a year or two gap in between.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're getting it this year because they're releasing that deluxe Blu-ray is coming out, I think.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why, like, the company that owns it decided to do it again.
Yeah.
Offered it up again.
Could be.
So it'll be interesting to see how it is. I mean, it's in what I believe the old parade building, so that's another spot that's been hit or miss over the years since they've been using it. I know, like, locations don't always mean this is going to be a great house, but
yeah,
I'm just going by, you know, history. But, you know, we'll see. You know, like I said, out of the 10 this year that have been, all the houses that have been announced, none of them have, you know, even Blumhouse, none of them scream this is going to be a crap house,
a big old stinky house. Yeah.
I mean, because that used to be the issue with Halloween Horror Nights every year, is there was always the one house that was just crap, that was complete and utter crap. And even out of the 10 this year, I really don't see, and I felt it was that way last year, there wasn't an out and out stinker house. I know some people felt it was Ash versus Evil Dead, but I didn't dislike that house. But yeah, so my
we're on your number seven.
Yes,
right?
My number seven, which is probably a little bit lower than some people have, but my number seven is Seeds of Extinction. Yeah, there's you know, some things that would be excited about this, you know, especially for us who are going to go multiple nights, is all the little Easter eggs that are supposed to be in this house. But we're talking about plant life come to life, and I'm just trying to think of how many different types of scares they can do with that. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a lot of camouflage stuff, much like Scarecrow. I mean, I guess that's why some people are more excited about this, because they're thinking, you know, Scarecrow. But it's
where's this house going to be? Have we got confirmation of where this one's going to be?
I forgot. But someone pointed that out.
Is this going to be a tent or soundstage? Or
I don't think it's a soundstage. I think it's one of the tents.
Yeah.
I want to say that. I know people always get up. Probably you're like, "What? What did you guys prepare?"
Yeah. Sorry. We have lives aside from obsessing over Halloween Horror Nights locations for houses. I think this is the first one where we're not close. Seeds is much higher on my list, so we'll come back to that. All right, so that was your number seven. I'm trying to keep track here because we've been so close. Number six. My number six, and I think this one was probably... I'm trying to think of which one was the hardest to place for me. But my number six is Scary Tales.
Yeah.
And this
which is
I think,
my, which we might as well say that's my number six.
Yeah. And I think this was the hardest IP for me to play, or non-IP, I should say, for me to place. Because I've really enjoyed all the other Scary Tale houses years past. So
yeah,
I've
definitely enjoyed all the iterations of Scary Tales over the years. So,
but when you put this up against all the other originals that they've announced, I had no other choice but to put this at the bottom of my non-IP original list. And
yeah, I mean, it's definitely for me, especially in my list, really 4, 5, and 6 and then 1, 2, and 3, any of those houses in those positions could have switched spots.
Yeah.
It's once we are getting in the top half of these lists, it is so tight, the difference between one house and another. So
it really is. Once we start getting up here, probably from here on out, all the way up to our number one, it was so hard for me, like I said at the beginning of us recording, it's so hard for me to place these. So we should almost say, you know, take these with a grain of salt, because probably things are going to change. It was just hard for me to play Scary Tales when you look at all the other originals that they've announced. Just by default, it's at the bottom of my originals. Not to say that I'm excited about it. I am. I'm very excited because I've loved all the previous Scary Tales houses. So, all right. Number 5 for me is Stranger Things.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. This, you know, I'm a huge fan of the show. I love the show. I am beyond excited that they got Stranger Things to come to Halloween Horror Nights. But with that said, I'm an originals guy. I've always been a huge, huge fan of the original haunted houses that Halloween Horror Nights does. And I could not rank this higher than it is compared to some of these other ones. So that's where it is. I'm sorry, Stranger Things fan, that it's in the middle of my list. And it was hard for me, number 4 and number 5. Or number 5 and 6, I should say, Stranger Things and Scary Tales. I was kind of flip-flopping those two. But we're not going to be too exact here, cuz like I said, things are going to change. So
yeah, I mean, I can, it seems to be, if you looked at a lot of people's hype list, it's in the middle of the pack. And I don't know if it's, even though when Stranger Things was announced, everybody was freaking out, and now they've like sort of like, I guess, calmed down a little bit. You know, it's but the pictures we've seen so far are some of the most detailed house design I have ever seen. I mean, yeah, it looks like you are stepping in to the freaking show.
Yeah, we got some new pictures released earlier this week of inside the Orlando house, and I was blown away at the detail. The upside down areas and the living room with the letters on the wall. The sets look insane on this house. So
yeah, I mean, I think like we've talked about this house before. It's all going to be about execution. It's all going to be about how they pull off the scares.
So yeah, I'm really curious to see how they're going to... I mean, I know they've been... I don't know if they've been having issues, but I've gotten several emails of them for casting calls for the Stranger Things haunted house.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the one issue they've had with casting for this, because from what someone on the inside told me is they were too choosy in the beginning, and then it's just they've put out multiple casting calls for this thing to try to find people, because they know how important it is when especially once they said that they're going to have the characters in here. I mean, it's hard to find people who look like kids.
Yeah,
I mean, you basically got to find, like, you know, usually actresses 4'10" or who are probably gonna, you know, under 5 feet, who are probably gonna have to play the boys, you know.
Yeah,
not just 11. So it's been tricky.
This
house is gonna, I think, like I said, it's gonna live or die. Set design, we already know, is some of the most impressive they've ever done, but it's going to live or die on execution. So
And by the way, I know this will be posted tomorrow, so we'll have a behind-the-scenes look of Hollywood Stranger Things house. We recently had somebody go out there and check it out, and Murdy was kind of giving the tour, showing everybody around. So,
shocking.
We'll have that up today, tomorrow, Monday. So, all right.
My number 5 is Poltergeist. I think it's partially for sentimental reasons, because, you know, it was one of my first horror films, which for many people, it was one of their first horror films. And like I said, I think this is another one that's going to live or die on execution.
Yeah.
I mean, if they pull it off, it's going to be, if they pull off some of the things they've talked about, it's going to be pretty impressive. So
I didn't try to, and it's hard not to, you know, like I'm an Exorcist fan, I think, more than Poltergeist. So when they announced Exorcist last year, I think I overhyped myself.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, sorry. I think I overhyped myself, and the nostalgia factor really killed it for me. Because like I said, Exorcist never really worked out for me. The house.
Well, I mean, we've talked about the house, the Exorcist house before. It's just, you know, it's hard to do a house that's basically takes place in one location almost the entire movie,
and it's one person basically.
And it's they did, I mean, with what they did, I mean, the way they did it was pretty cool. But like I said, we've said before, it always didn't work. It was all, if you timed it, if you hit all the scares on time, it was pretty good. But if you didn't, then it was you could walk through it sometimes and be just sort of eh.
Yeah.
So, but that brings us to, we're now in the top four.
Yeah. So
what is your number four?
My number four is Dead Exposure, Patient Zero.
That is my number four.
And again, I think this is one that a lot of these I started placing ones that I knew were going to be kind of at the bottom just by default, and ones that just really didn't hype it up for me. Because, you know, this is a hype list. This isn't me ranking the houses, because, you know, obviously we haven't been through them yet. So just based on the hype list, Dead Exposure... I was trying to recall the original Dead Exposure house, and I couldn't quite recall a whole lot about the house, maybe because a lot of it was pitch black, and not a whole lot, you didn't see a whole lot in the original Dead Exposure house. So I'm excited about this house. I like the whole flash photography thing that they did in the original one, so I'm guessing they're going to carry it over into this one. And again, this is another one that they've been really quiet about, and they really haven't. We got that backstory thing that they tweeted out, all those like postcards and stuff.
Yeah.
But again, this is a house that they've been kind of hush-hush about, and I really don't know a lot about it, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, my hype on this is based on the previous house, and I remember how good it was. And, you know, they've really come up with, you know, pretty cool backstory and story for this house. So, and like I said, anything that, you know, involving, you know, strobes and flashes and stuff like that messes with your eyes and can really make a house that much scarier. When your pupils are screwed with and makes something that's a situation that's already dark even darker, and you can't see where the scares are coming from. So,
and I think that was the great thing about the first one, was just that design of, you know, flashing darkness. So I'm excited for the house. I just don't know a lot about it, so that's kind of where it is right now on my list. So, all right, top three. I think this is the biggest gap we have.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, you know, much like four, five, and six, the top three for me, any one of these could be number one. It was almost like just sort of like guessing, decide which one is which. So your number three is
Back to Seeds of Extinction. Okay. This house actually. When everybody got everybody that was a pass holder got that thing in the mail, their pass holder newsletter in the mail, they had some pictures of some of the costumes in there, and I really liked the design of them with the flowers on their heads and stuff. And I've always been a huge camouflage jump scare fan, so kind of opposite the spectrum of what you were saying. You know, you don't know what you can do with this house with the whole camouflage thing. I would be perfectly fine if this house was nothing but good camouflage jump scares, because I've always been a huge fan of them. So I don't know where they're going with this house. Like you said, it's really hard to pinpoint where they're going to go with the scares for this. Is it just going to be camouflage scares? You know, what are they going to do with it? So,
yeah, I mean, that's why my Seeds was lower for me. Cause I'm not as excited cause it's like, I really don't know, you know, is it going to be interesting, or is it just going to be, you know, a bunch of people in ghillie suits and
yeah. And I hope it's not that, you know, I hope they get creative with the camouflaging and, you know, but, I've been a huge fan of it ever since, you know, ever since I worked at Halloween Horror Nights. I did a couple of roles that were heavy, you know, heavy based on camouflaging and hiding. And I've actually gotten scared a couple times by a good camouflage jump scare. So, I think that's why it's so high on my list, is I'm a fan of that type of scare. So if there's a lot of that, then great. But I really don't know what's going to go on in this house as far as, you know, the scares. So it'll be interesting to see.
So my number three is, and this may differ from what I sent you, cause I had changed my mind. My number three is Stranger Things. We've sort of already discussed about the house. Like I said, execution, it's all about how they execute with the scare actors. We already know that the set design for this house is some of the most, based on the pictures we've seen and the stuff they've discussed, it's some of the most impressive set design that they've ever done for a house. So, I mean, it's all going to be about, you know, I'm hyped because I love the show. I mean, I just, it's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
And even though I've always felt season two is going to work better as a house than season one, but obviously based on what we've been told, you know, they signed a contract for multiple years, so
yeah,
I imagine we're getting season two next year. But so I mean, that's my number three, which so that moves us to number two. So what is your number two?
My number two is Slaughter Cinema,
which is my number two. So now that I changed things up, so
I think out of all the pictures, like you said, just like I said earlier, just this past week we have these all up on ThrowGeek.com. They released pictures for Stranger Things. They released pictures for Slaughter Cinema, and I think that was it, right?
Yes.
Just those two houses. But when they released those pictures of Slaughter Cinema, I think that was that solidified my number two position for this house, because it looks amazing. The set design, my jaw kind of dropped to the floor when I saw the sets they have going for this house.
Yeah, I mean, it ties into the whole 80s thing, because it's sort of supposed to be like 80s B movies, and it's you know, it, like they've created posters for each section of the house, and this just seems to really be like something that that's, you know, they've really let their imaginations come to life for this one. And I'm definitely, like you, I'm usually more excited for the original houses than any of the IP stuff, and this is why, you know, this to me is number two. It's just the whole idea is just a great idea, and then to tie it also with the 80s theme is just even better. So
yeah, I agree. So your number two. Are we on your number two?
Yeah. We both had the same number.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said Slaughter Cinema. Okay.
So that brings us to, drum roll, please, number one, which...
I think we're both the same, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Go ahead and say it.
Carnival Graveyard. And I think this is, I think a lot of people can agree with us on this front with this house. Just, excuse me. The few pictures we've seen inside the house, and just the theme of the house. I mean, come on, Carnival Graveyard. I mean,
yeah, I mean the theme we've heard of the house, the ideas, whether they execute them, that, you know, you'll be going, you know, you're in this, like, you know, place where they've, you know, where pieces and parts of multiple carnivals have gathered and left to rot, and that you'll be going in front of some stuff and behind the stuff you just went in front of. And I mean, it feels like this thing's going to have a depth to it, and a uniqueness to it that I'll be interested to see if they pull it off.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those houses, and I can't put my finger on. We've seen this before, where the haunted house just isn't a bunch of walls. They use props and stuff to make the pathway. So based upon that alone, I'm really excited for the house, because it gives it a unique touch that they're not just walls, and you know, you're just not walking into square rooms. It gives the house a whole different feel when you do this sort of design, where there's, you know, your path is objects instead of just wall sections.
Yeah, I mean, and it's you know, this is a soundstage house, which usually gives them more room to do stuff. I think it shares the same soundstage with Scary Tales. But like I said, this based on what they've described this house and what some of the things that they say they're going to do, it seems is going to be very unique, and definitely is the one I'm the most excited for. So,
agreed, me too. So that's it. There's our HHN 28 hype list.
Yeah, I mean we're really excited. You know, as we go into you know, going into it, we cannot recommend more and more this year. You need to do Stay and Scream if you want to hit that Stranger Things house.
Yeah,
you need, and you're not going to get Express. Do Stay and Scream, which just means, you know, if you have an annual pass or you have a ticket for that day, you get to the park before it closes. You get to stay in one of the zones, and I would stay in one of the, whatever area, holding area they have that will get you access to Stranger Things, and do that first. I would say, even if you have an Express pass, you know, one of the things we I don't think we've mentioned before, it's like when you have an Express pass and you get the one house per thing, those first 2 hours, you really don't need to use that Express pass.
No, because the queues aren't quite filled up yet.
Yeah, if you got a 15-minute or less wait, you're wasting your Express pass if you use it.
Yeah.
If you stay in Scream and you have an Express pass, really it's going to give you an opportunity to do some of those houses twice.
Yeah.
So, you know, we definitely recommend, you know, do Stay in Scream. If you're not doing Stay in Scream, you need to be at that front gate by 5:30.
Yeah, because especially on the first night on Friday, house
to make a run for it. To and we're going to recommend, if you're there at 5:30, if you do Stay and Scream, we recommend you do Stranger Things first, because that is going to be the house, much like The Walking Dead was those first few years, where it gets in a 2 to 3 hour wait within the first 2 hours of the event. It's going to be interesting to see, with 10 houses this year, how the crowd spread out.
Yeah,
and with Stranger Things being so much, to the average guest, so much more hype than everything else,
mm-hmm.
how that's going to affect touring and doing stuff like that, and that stuff we will go into on when we do our review podcast, the next podcast, we'll talk about what we think you should do in what order for the event. But going in, starting this opening weekend, throughout the event, we do Stay and Scream if you can. If not, get to that gate an hour before five we're not joking. 5:30, be one of the first people in line to get in. It will make your night, especially if you get only one night.
Yeah, and a lot of people do too. You know, a lot of people don't have the leisure that we have of, you know, going almost every damn night.
Yeah, I mean, not all of us have staying. Not all of us have frequent fare pass. Some of us, I cannot believe some of these people who've got frequent fare with Express.
Yeah,
frequent fare plus. I mean, you and I get the frequent fare plus, so we can go Friday nights too. But yeah, I mean, I cannot believe some of the money people spend for this event.
Yeah,
but you know, it's we're gonna recommend. I mean, we don't even have to be to the event first to say that you need to do Stranger Things first.
Yeah,
if you can, either first, if you can't get there at the beginning, then it needs to be the last thing you do.
First or last.
Yeah. So, but we're excited. I mean, I cannot believe that, you know, in 5 days we're gonna be walking around and experiencing this that we've been talking about since
March, April.
So it's
we'll be there,
and we'll be there. We will have coverage on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yep.
YouTube. You know, we will have the scare zones up as soon as we shoot them. We're gonna have them up on YouTube. And speaking of scare zones, we have scare zone construction videos on our YouTube channel right now. We'll be doing one final one this coming week, where we will take one last look at all the scare zone construction before the event starts. And I think that about covers everything previewing Halloween Horror Nights. Like I said, we're excited.
And here we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's our most as the Christmas songs go, it's her most wonderful time of the year.
It really is. You know, everybody knows that I'm obsessed with Halloween. And Halloween Horror Nights is my happy place. Whether I'm just walking around the scare zones, you know, I love this event so much. And
yeah,
I'm
excited. I mean, there's nights we go, we hit a couple of houses, but we'll just walk around the scare zones.
Yeah, and just hang out. And
meet up with friends we know, because we know so many people who go multiple nights and just hang out. It's this sort of, I like to call this I call this season Hallow Thanksmas. and it runs from it used to start mid-September through beginning of January, but now it starts, thanks to Disney, it starts mid-August through beginning of January, and it's my favorite time of the year. And starting this is usually for me the kickoff for it. Even though we sort of kicked it off a little early with going to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween
party. Middle of August.
Yeah, middle of August, early September we got to go.
So T-shirt I should say.
Yes.
Or actually T-shirts, because we have the Teespring. Yeah, we have the Teespring store now open. I'll be sure to put the link in this episode for our Teespring store, which has all of our the stuff with the TG logo on it. And I got to get the other version of the Horror Night shirt up there, which I will do that probably sometime this week. But yeah, the link for our Teespring store will be in this episode. And also our retro blood shirt. So I think that's it.
Yeah, pick up your shirt, wear it to Halloween Horror Nights. Like we said, we're there most nights. We usually post a picture of what we're wearing when we are there. So if you run into us, say hi. You know, we're always around.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of that, you know, we'll be filming or something. If you guys see us in the parks, you know, don't be afraid to come up and knock us on, like tap us on the shoulder, whether we're filming or not. I love meeting new people. So if you guys see us at the event, don't be afraid to walk up and, you know, give us a tap on the shoulder, and we'll be sure to say hi and, you know, chat with you for a few minutes. So,
but we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page, and we're youtube.com/thrillgeek, where you can check out our latest videos. Like we said, we got scare zone construction videos up right now, and this week there's going to be a lot of videos posted over the weekend of scare zones, and we're even going to do a special vlog of opening weekend of Halloween Horror Nights. So all that and more will be coming to the YouTube channel. And remember, we are thrillgeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Be sure to check out the website and click on the podcast link for this podcast, which is available on all podcast platforms.
Very good. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. And we are out of here. And we will see you guys next week for more Horror Nights fun.
See you in the parks.